ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot.
Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Warning. On this podcast, we take the cases seriously, but not ourselves.
Although we may attempt to lighten the mood at times.
Our episodes contain graphic descriptions that some listeners may find disturbing. Listener discretion is advised. I've had just about enough of your shit. Okay.
Okay.
Do you know what it is this time?
I don't care. I have to deal with this every day.
I'm loving your energy. I got to be honest with you.
Every day for 10 years and I still can't get something right. So
I think you'll agree, like in hindsight, you'll agree with me on this one. Okay. Right. So the other day you made yourself a sandwich, right?
Okay.
You made it, put it on a, like made it on the plate, should I say.
What sandwich?
I think it was just a cheese sandwich. Okay. Just butter and cheese.
Right.
Yeah, that's your go-to.
Yeah.
But you made this sandwich, yeah?
Mm.
You walked from the kitchen over to the sofa, sat down with your sandwich on the plate, then put the plate down and picked up the sandwich, completely disregarded the plate, and just ate the sandwich over your lap on the floor / sofa. I was just sat there looking at you like, look at this fucking pig. What are you doing? Who do you think you are? What was the point of the plate to begin with?
Right. Just on the podcast alone, to do with me and my sandwiches. So you've give out about that. Yeah. I grip it too hard, apparently.
Yeah, you do, yeah.
What else? Oh, I eat too fast. You say I don't chew.
Oh, yeah.
I just swallow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything else? That's just what you've said on the podcast.
You criticize me for being a loud eater.
Oh no, this is about me.
No, but that I'm bringing it back around to you, don't worry. You criticize me for being a loud eater, but you were also quite a loud eater.
No, but you sound like you're eating gravel.
Yeah, but you smack your gums about. So
I've got big lips.
Yeah.
Can't help it.
Born with big gums.
No, lips.
No, but that's from Forrest Gump.
Oh.
Yeah.
No, are you comparing me to Forrest Gump?
No.
Right.
Yeah. This is what annoys me about it as well. So every time, he doesn't do it to me, but every time Neil eats, Norman will scan the floor in and around Neil's feet looking for crumbs. And Neil is always like, Norman, there's nothing there. Will you fuck off? There's always something there. You don't use a plate. Plates are not functional to you. They're just decoration at this point.
I know how to hold a sandwich. No innards are falling out.
The other day, right? So this was 3 days, I think, after the sandwich situation.
Yeah.
I hoovered the sofa. You know, took all the cushions off, cleaned it all down, right? And this isn't just the other day. This is a reoccurring thing.
Mm.
Every single time, because we sit in the same spot. We have our seats. I'm on the left.
Oh, yeah. I'm not like that. You make me like that. If I sit on your side.
Yeah, no, that pisses me off.
You turn into Carrie.
Like, I don't, why are you sitting there? It's my side. It's our sofa. I've got my arse print. You've got yours. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We sit very differently. And the cushions are molded to our independent arse cheeks.
You sit differently. I sit on my ass.
No, you sit very far back compared to me. Your arse print starts right at the back cushion. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
Mine's kind of more in the middle.
Well, that's just because she got short legs.
That's a different topic. We'll come back to that another day. Okay?
Okay.
My point is, every time I take the cushions off, you know, fully clean out the sofa, any crumbs, all of that shit.
Yeah.
If you look at my side,
yeah,
there's, you know, one or two crumbs, it happens.
Dirty
maybe
bastard.
Maybe, you know, what do you call it? Like a few grains of cat litter from Ty darting out of his fucking box, jumping onto the sofa, going nuts.
Yeah.
Happens.
Mm-hmm.
Your side is like you've just come home from a shift at fucking Greg's.
Pastry flakes.
It's all over, like around, like in a perfect square of where the cushion was. There's just breadcrumbs, pastry flakes. One time, I don't know if you remember this. No, you have to remember this. One time, there was a glob of fat. I still don't know how you did it. It was as if you picked up a bare hand fisted a sausage. And it was still like fresh out the air fryer and you dripped grease.
No, do you know what that'll have probably been?
I can't get it clean. It's ruined the fabric. There's still a little mark there. Do you know the worst part was? It got onto the zip of the cushion.
Do you know what it'll probably be? Fell out of my kebab. Fat dripped out of my kebab, maybe.
Do you think? I don't know what it's from. My point is,
a blob of fat.
You're a fucking mess. Like, it actually annoys the crap out of me. There was one time, right, I said this to you and I was like, Neil, look at the difference. You're like, it's not that bad. You didn't have your glasses on. I said, put your glasses on, come back and look at that. And you went, oh. And I went, yeah, look at that.
Yeah. See, right, so you call me a pig.
I do, yeah.
But if we go out to a restaurant and I use my napkin, you take the piss out of me. You all do. Whoever I'm sat with, you all take the piss out of me.
Because you took it into your fucking top.
That's what you're supposed to
you're
do.
You're wearing a bib.
No, that's where you're supposed to put the napkin. You put it on your lap.
Yes, I do, yeah.
On one leg.
Yeah. Unless I have like a full cloth napkin that can go across both. But if I'm in like a fast food place and it's just like paper napkins, yeah, just put it on my leg.
Listeners, if you get a paper napkin when you go to like Mackey D's, you go to Mackey D's or something and you get a paper napkin, do you or do you not tuck it? Especially if you're getting like the ribs or something like that, the McRib, covered in fucking sauce. Do you or do you not tuck the napkin into your collar?
Do you know what I can understand? You know when you see the like the seafood boils that they'll do? You know, like in where it'd be popular, like Louisiana or somewhere like that.
Yeah.
And they do like the full spread on the table of all this seafood and it's all like beautiful and covered in sauce and everything.
Hmm.
And it's messy, but that's kind of part of it. You just fucking dig in.
Yeah.
That I can understand. You eating a fucking burger and a few chips, how much trouble are you looking to get in? Do you know what I mean?
Well, this is Grace. Like,
Grace. Grease, yeah.
Yeah.
That was taking the piss a little bit there, Neil, I have to say.
Yeah, that can get everywhere. Like, I get myself into these situations where if we get a kebab,
yeah,
like these are big fucking kebab. I think I've still got a picture of one.
Yeah,
I might put it on social media for you to see the size of this fucking kebab. So it comes with lettuce. Does it come with onion? No, just lettuce, isn't it?
Mine comes with onion.
Oh, so mine comes with onion then.
No, it doesn't.
You're not exclusive to onion.
No, I get a because I'm not that big on like doner kebab. I get like a chicken one.
Okay. Well, So I get this doner kebab wrap and it comes with lettuce and it comes with mayo and it comes with like this spicy, it's just chili sauce, isn't it?
Yeah.
I won't get sauce. I do enjoy sauce, but I won't get it because
it's bread and some piece of skin flap, essentially what Neil eats.
I just get meat, lettuce, onion. That's
bread.
It. Yeah, that's it. Because my hands get absolutely fucking slow. It starts running between my fingers and down my hands. My knuckles are just caked in shite.
Yeah.
And I can't be doing with it. And it's the same where if you get a greasy burger,
yeah,
I get covered in fucking grease all over my hands.
Right, this takeaway that you're talking about, I fucking love it. It's one of the best takeaways I've been to in years.
It's the best takeaway. It's the best takeaway I've had while I've been in Ireland.
Because I think we've talked about it before on the podcast. Me and you have very different taste in takeaways. And there's been many an argument, and we finally found somewhere that we both really like, really enjoy. Yeah?
Yeah.
But I have to kind of hype myself up every time we go there, because I know you're going to bitch and moan every single time that, because the portion is so big, it's really awkward to kind of pick up the, because it's in like a naan bread, to pick up the kind of wrap they've made.
Oh, it sticks to the plastic.
Yeah, but paper.
Paper.
Yeah, it sticks to the paper, and then to try and pick it up and actually contain the food.
Yeah.
I'll be there, and I've got sauce everywhere. Mine's a mess, like it's beautiful, but it's a mess to eat. And I'm just digging in.
Yeah.
Right? But then I have to deal with Neil to the side and go, ugh.
Yeah, because it rips a big oil in the fucking...
Just get on with it.
It rips a big oil in the kebab. Because the paper sticks to the fucking wrap.
Yeah.
And I pull the fucking paper and it rips a big oil in the wrap.
Yeah.
So if I had sauce, that'd be me done. I would lose it and throw it in the bin.
I'm kind of glad you don't have sauce, because given the amount of trouble you get yourself into with bread and pastry, do you know what I mean? With the mess.
It's not me getting my... What do you mean?
With I'm getting mess, myself with the mess everywhere, I've just said.
Right.
With the crumbs.
Yeah. Can't do right, can I?
No.
Yeah.
I feel like you were half expecting me to almost like apologise. Like you look like you're feeling a bit down over. I'm not apologising because I got to clean it up afterwards. So. You're shit out of luck here, yeah. Neil.
Oh, well. So we're back for part two of Lenny.
We are indeed. Part two of Leonard John Fraser, also known as the Rockhampton Rapist, also known as Aussie Richard Speck, also known as Lenny the Bollocks.
Also known as a scrawny little twat.
That too. And yeah. Lenny the Loon, don't forget that. He was given that name while in prison.
Lenny the Loon.
I feel like we need to state, so when we do two-parters, we generally record them the same day.
Yeah.
And we're recording these kind of other ends of the day. When we recorded the part one, now, obviously, by the time you guys hear it, it's been edited. So I don't know how much has been cut out. But we were a bit unhinged in that episode. We were just shiting on. I'm sorry, guys, if it sounds a bit messy, if we're all over the place.
Yeah.
And I feel like in this episode, we're kind of at the other end. And we're a bit kind of almost hyper now.
Yeah, no, we were. Yeah, for part one, you know, I'd been outside doing a bit of graft out there. I'm sure Megan were doing some graft in here.
I did the dishes, I did the cat litter, and I emptied the fat out of the air fryer, so I wasn't doing much. I cut up some lettuce, onion and tomatoes for burgers.
Oh yeah, because I did a barbecue as well.
You did, yeah.
Made some more ribeye burgers.
We did. They were good.
Yeah, and then we were a bit tired when we were doing part one, but we've had a nap, we've had a drink. So I think we're ready for part two.
But I, you say we're ready. I didn't have a great nap. And then we went to the hardware store.
Yeah.
And we picked up some gravel. So we've also been lumping about.
Six bags
of bagel.
Yeah.
Bags of gravel.
Yeah.
Even. And I think, well, at least for me, I'm on the other end and I'm like hyper tired now. So let's see how this goes.
Yeah. If I start sounding gassy, it's because I'm on the Iron Brew. I'm usually just drinking water, but I'm on the Iron Brew.
Iron Blue.
Yeah.
Go on, Neil.
No.
Oh.
I'll do it behind the paywall. I'm not doing it publicly.
Killjoy.
We have a fair few Scots listening, and I'm not bashing them.
I think they'd appreciate it.
They'll kick my fucking head in.
Hmm. Anyway. When last we left you, we talked about Leonard's background, his countless crimes, which included many, many sexual assaults, and his inadequate stints in prison. And let's not forget when Leonard did something perhaps most out of character for a man like himself, when he attempted to settle down, get a steady job, and became a father and stepfather. Of course, that was a blip before going back to his hideous, grotesque behaviours. In April of 1999, Leonard abducted 9-year-old Kira Steinhardt as she walked home from school. Leonard was subsequently arrested, convicted for the murder of Kira, while police tried to link him to other murders in the area. Now, while in prison, Leonard began to confide in a fellow inmate named Alan Quinn, and Alan was working with the police.
Fucking snitch.
So that's kind of where we were.
Mm.
Caught up. Anything else you want to add, or are you...
Yeah, No. I just remember saying, you know, when you're in prison, you know, everything's brownie points. What can I, like,
yeah,
what can I do to get time off? So you don't tell a fucking other prisoner anything. I don't care. Oh, well, I've been serving with him 5 years. Doesn't matter. It's a different world.
And I take your point, and 9 times out of 10, you're right.
Mm.
But Alan Quinn, it was a slightly different situation. Alan was a con man who described himself as Australia's greatest con man. And he felt that if he was able to help the investigation against Leonard and bring some closure for the family members, well, it was a shot at redemption for him. Quote, "A chance for me to turn my life around, to compensate for the terrible life I led." He also said, quote, "It's my job. He's speaking to me. I'll befriend this guy and I'll get the information." Alan noted the glee that exuded from Leonard as he spoke of other horrific crimes. Quote, "Fraser was so excited when he talked about serial killers. I said to him, I said, look, Lenny, if you want to be a serial killer, you can't be a serial killer unless anybody knows what you done. I said, you'll have to give up the bodies of your victims. You'll have to tell them the story."
Right, are you quoting him? Because that was very Irish. I said to him, I said.
I thought that too. But his name's Alan Quinn, you know?
Ah, okay, yeah.
Could be.
Yeah.
But yeah, I noted that too, that I said to him, I said.
Yeah.
Now, of course, Leonard, being the gobshite that he was, wanted his name to be amongst some of the most odious of killers. And so once Alan was set up with a recording device, he just let Leonard spill the beans. Even going as far as sharing a cell with Leonard, as well as volunteering to stay in prison past his release to keep the information coming. And he stayed in prison, I think it was about 9 months.
Right.
Past his release date. So fair fucks, Alan.
Yeah.
Alan said, quote, "I've hurt a lot of people in my life. I've got to do something good. So that is why I set in after Fraser."
Don't really make him the greatest con man, though. If he wanted to be the greatest con man, he would get some out of it without actually having to do, like, actually yeah. write him out. Like, get them to sign a thing saying, but you'll be released and you won't get charged for this or something.
Yeah. Also, and the whole thing of, like, the greatest con man, do you know what it just made me think of?
Hmm.
The greatest showman.
Do you know what popped into my head as soon as you started talking about Australia?
Mm.
Take your hand off of my penis.
Yeah. Mm.
Get your hand off my penis!
I was going to say it goes hand in hand, but...
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, we'll come back to penises.
All comes back, all links up, Neil.
Yeah. I don't think he was a con man, though. I think he was like a bank robber or an armed robber.
Liked a bit of the theft.
Mm.
So anyway, with Alan talking to Leonard and kind of bringing him out of his shell a bit and, you know, convincing him that if you want to be this notorious serial killer, you got to speak up.
Mm.
Well, eventually, Leonard did agree to disclose the location of the other bodies. Leonard was flown out by private jet to Nankin Creek. And while walking through the area with detectives, Leonard was under covert surveillance. Now, we know that Leonard didn't murder Natasha Ryan. But he did claim to have, even going as far as to draw up maps to the location of her body. And when speaking about her, Leonard said that he had killed Natasha because she was pregnant with his child.
It's just a prick.
He's a bullshit artist.
Yeah.
The thing to me with this whole situation with Leonard, what are you laughing at?
You look like a T-Rex. The way you fucking are.
I gesture wildly, but yeah, I'm trying not to, because I'm sorry, guys, if you've heard in the background, I'm constantly knocking the mic and stuff.
Yeah.
I like to gesture.
Right. Because it's just audio, I'll describe what I'm looking at. So she sat facing me with her elbows tucked in, but she's flailing her hands about like some fucking lunatic.
Yeah.
While she's talking, she has to talk with her hands.
I don't know what
that
is.
But the elbows are tucked in, so it looks like she's trying to be a T-Rex.
Yeah, it's no good. This is why we can't do video. Could you imagine?
Yeah.
I'd ruin it.
Yeah.
it'd be funny having you on video though, because they just watch you like, you know, like you've got a can of Iron Brew by you. They just, you know, it'd be me telling the case and then you just staring at the can, reading the ingredients or something.
Yeah.
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 Anyway, Leonard's confessions.
Mm.
So it's kind of odd to me. Leonard was such a bastard and he did commit so many horrific acts. He didn't need to fabricate anything, but he just couldn't help himself. He wanted to be this notorious killer, and the fact that Natasha's disappearance coincided with his other attacks, you know, he thought, fuck it, might as well claim it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, you know, maybe part of it as well was because a lot of his crimes were sexual in nature, and Leonard was kind of weird about that. He wasn't keen to claim the title of rapist, and so he'd rather be known as a murderer. Meaning he had to kind of claim other murders and disappearances because he didn't want to admit to the full scope of the crimes he had perpetrated. Do you get what I mean?
Okay.
That's what I think anyway. Now, having said that, not so great to say you impregnated a 14-year-old girl.
Yeah.
But he's not admitting to attacking her in that manner. He's trying to, it's almost as if he's trying to make it sound like they had a consensual relationship. And as a result, he chose to kill her. Now, again, we know none of that's true.
Yeah, and it can't be consensual in the 14.
No, of course it's not. But from Leonard's state of mind, you know. Now, having said that, it was reported that at first, Leonard was reluctant to speak about Natasha at all. I don't think it was solely him just claiming it. I think people sort of put it on him. And, you know, I mean, a serial killer targeting women and girls in that same area. It's easy to see why people would have assumed this. So that's kind of, you know, what his claim was with Natasha. But again, like I said, we know it's not true.
Hmm.
So put that to the side.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you haven't already, listen to our episode on the disappearance of Natasha Ryan. So what about the other murders? The murders of these other women took place between December of 1998 and April of 1999. In December of 1998, 39-year-old Julie Turner was out for the night with her friends. Given that Julie was described as a fun-loving person who loved being around people and enjoyed singing and dancing, I would say Julie was in her element as they chose to go out to a nightclub that evening. As the night came to a close, Julie made her way home in the early hours on foot, as she did not have money for a taxi. It was on her way home that she must have crossed paths with Leonard. In early 1990, 36-year-old Beverly Lego moved to Rockhampton. She and Leonard lived close to each other and knew of one another. She was last seen alive outside the Bank of Queensland in March of 1999. Leonard said that as he put his hand on Beverly's leg, she went to hit him and he just lashed out. Her body was found 20 metres from a swimming hole, laid in the long grass, with a ligature which had been made of a bra and underpants still around her neck.
What's a swimming hole?
I'm guessing like a creek or something.
I think I know what it'll be. Yeah.
More like a man-made type.
Do you remember there was that one, I think you did an audit on it, people were dying?
Oh, was it like a really deep thing of what, I'm describing this awfully now.
It was just like out in the sticks and it'd just be like, yeah, it was like a huge plunge pool sort of thing. Yeah. I wonder if it's like that, a swimming hole.
No, I don't think it's like that.
Oh.
Yeah. I think, right, I'm not saying it is, but I think more like a creek kind of thing.
Where's the oar?
Why do some people say crick as well? What's that about?
It's the Craig and Craig thing, isn't it?
No, I don't believe it is. I think you're an asshole if you say that.
Oh.
Yeah. It's not even spelt like that. Do you know what I mean? I don't get where the confusion's coming in. Getting a bit off topic there. I just also want to make a correction there. I believe in the Natasha Ryan episode, I said Beverly Lego was 37. I believe she was actually 36 at the time of her murder. I know it's not a big difference, but just...
changes the fucking case now, doesn't it?
It's altered it. But you know what I mean? Just to be as accurate as possible, I believe Beverly was 36, not 37. 19-year-old Sylvia Benedetti was last seen on the 18th of April, 1999 at the Rockhampton Mall. She was seen there with a man later identified as Leonard. On the 25th of April 1999, wreckers at the derelict Queensland Hotel find significant amounts of blood pooled on the floor, as well as blood splattered across the walls, floor and ceiling of room 13. Facial bone fragments still with tissue attached and shattered teeth were also found.
Fucking hell.
On the 18th of April, the day that Sylvia had been seen with Leonard at the mall, Leonard had managed to lure Sylvia to the Queensland Hotel by telling her that this was where he stored his supply of marijuana. When they entered room 13, he tried to kiss Sylvia. Sylvia, repulsed by his advances, swings at Leonard. Now, Leonard loses it and begins to ferociously beat her to the head. And as Sylvia lay there unresponsive, most likely already dead, Leonard then sexually assaults her.
Such a piece of shit.
Yeah. And not only is she, if not dead, very close to death, he had brutally mutilated her face. I mean, from the sounds of it, he had essentially crushed her face in before then sexually assaulting her.
Fucking hell.
That is some next level sadistic shit.
Yeah.
And if you can't tell by now, Lenny seems to have a little bit of a problem with hearing the word no from women.
Yeah. How the fuck is this not more known?
Well, Neil, as horrific as this attack on Sylvia was, there's still one last gruesome detail. After the sexual assault, Leonard wraps her head in a towel and carries her downstairs. He then places her body over a drain and drains the blood from her body. He leaves Sylvia there for a few days until he was able to get rid of her body.
Jesus.
Brutal. Now, we don't have huge amounts of information on the other murders, but if they're anything remotely close to this,
yeah.
It's shocking. So fucking callous. You know, it was described as, you know, the way he had mutilated her body to drain the blood was similar to what a hunter would do.
Yeah.
To the carcass of an animal.
That's what I was thinking. Like Ed Gein with...
dressing out a deer.
Yeah.
Mm. I learned that term from that case. It's actually now the term dressing out, unfortunately, in my head is linked to true crime.
Yeah.
Sylvia's DNA was later found in Leonard's car, as well as Leonard's partner Christine, confirming that Leonard had known Sylvia. After Leonard had led detectives to the location of the bodies, they soon found out that he had revisited the bodies before. Julie in particular, it was said that he had, quote, interfered with her remains and he had removed her head.
Why?
I do not know. If he had done this to all of the women, I'd be like, okay, he's trying to make it harder to identify them. I do not know why Julie in particular. Although Leonard never formally admitted to sexually assaulting these women and girls, all of their bodies were found without clothing. And remember, he had this weird thing about DNA evidence and the time it would take to be destroyed, which, if not for your fear of being charged specifically with sexual assault, why would it matter if you're already admitting to murdering them?
Mm.
Police believe that Leonard sexually assaulted all of these women and girls either before or after their death.
This is fucking brutal.
Brutal. Fucking brutal. And for some reason, yeah, it doesn't seem to be as well. Unless it's just completely escaped my knowledge. I didn't see huge amounts about it when I was looking into it.
Yeah. Like
it just doesn't seem to be as well covered. I don't know why.
You know, like that in part one where you said, you know, body was found. Did you say sat up against a tree and they were just wearing the school top?
Yeah.
And he was like, I didn't leave it like that. Someone's done that after.
Mm.
It's like, so someone was walking the dog, saw a dead body and thought, oh, I'm going to strip that down from the waist and become a necrophile. Why is that funny?
It's not. It's just the way you worded it.
But that's what he's fucking basically suggesting. Oh, I killed her. But I didn't do that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't tend to use the word rapist very often when talking about cases like this.
But oh no, this bastard's a rapist.
Exactly. Seeing as Leonard is such an issue with it, yeah, let's just throw it in a few extra times. Yeah. You know what I mean?
And we're not one of them where on if we were on social media, it's like, grape.
No, I'm not. I find that very disrespectful, if I'm honest with you.
Yeah.
You just use a different word. Use different terminology.
Sexual assault.
If that's the case. Yeah, like you don't... SA, even.
Yeah.
If people just use the initials, it's fine.
Yeah. Yarder.
What?
Yarder.
What?
Yarder.
Yarder.
Yeah.
What?
If you said to use the initials, so Yarder.
You just say SA. That's the point.
Yeah, but R's just one letter.
You could, but I didn't know what the hell you were just saying. So Northerners don't do that then, at least. Please. Yada. It's like, was that a word? What's that? That's a funny noise. In March of 2003, Leonard's trial begins for the murders of Natasha, Julie, Beverly and Sylvia. Alan Quinn was the prosecution's star witness. And although it was great to have gotten this information in terms of getting the conviction, because his confessions to Alan had been recorded, it meant that the family members of these women had to endure listening to Leonard boast and laugh about the details of what he had done to them. During the trial, Leonard seemed disinterested in the proceedings, which, to be honest, I would say is quite unsurprising given the amount of times that he had seen the inside of a court, as well as his complete disregard for human life.
Yeah.
For example, during one hearing, it was said that Leonard sat there picking his feet.
Picking his feet.
Picking his feet.
You going mad at me for doing that?
It's
you could be eating though sometimes.
It's the yeah, and you'll do it like right by me. And it's not right, okay, I don't want you picking your feet at me. It's the noise of you picking at your nail, and it's not like that the clicking kind of, I don't know how you describe it. The like a flick of it.
Yeah.
You know, it's fucking, it makes my skin crawl.
What was that the other day? Your face? I should have fucking videoed you. That would have been good social media content. Oh, so I'd been working outside doing something and I split my nail. I split one of my nails right in the middle of it. So I thought, oh, I'll just rip it off. Thinking, you know, normal when I rip my nail off.
Yeah.
But it went like halfway down.
Oh, yeah.
And I went, oh. And,
it was all bloodied and everything. Like,
yeah, I didn't want to tell you because I knew you were going to give out to me.
Yeah.
But you could obviously see, but it were irritating me. And you went, what the hell are you doing? So I just showed you. And your face.
I made a noise as well. I was like, But you know what that is, right? That's not just like that you were picking. I'm quite funny about stuff to do with nail, skin, teeth.
Yeah.
That's kind of where I get a bit. Do you remember that one time about a year ago? I got a splinter underneath my nail.
Oh, yeah.
That's literally a form of fucking punishment. Yeah. Torture.
Yeah.
Oh.
Metal splinter. They're a bastard.
I had one stuck in my finger, a metal splinter, for about 3 weeks. Could not get it out. Obviously, finally did, but fucking every day I was there picking at it. I'm just as bad as you, Neil.
Mm.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto. America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Mom, can you tell me a story?
Sure. Once upon a time, a mom needed a new car.
Was she brave?
She was tired, mostly. But she went to Carvana.com and found a great car at a great price. No secret treasure map required.
Did she have to fight a dragon?
Nope. She bought it 100% online. From her bed, actually.
Was it scary?
Honey, it was as unscary as car buying could be.
Did the car have a sunroof?
It did, actually.
Okay, good story.
Car buying you'll want to tell stories about. Buy your car today on
Carvana.
Delivery fees may apply.
So anyway, Leonard, at his trial, very disinterested, this man was. But there were times that you could see him beginning to get worked up, particularly when Alan was giving evidence. And as we know from her episode on the disappearance of Natasha Ryan, she did attend the trial, and Natasha was essentially forced to testify on behalf of Leonard. The prosecutor said, quote, "It was an intriguing situation. I've been known to say that I'm the only prosecutor who has cross-examined the deceased." I can just tell how he's saying that, like, I've been known to say. Whip it out of dinner parties, like, you know what I mean? The problem was, though, because Natasha was, in fact, alive and well, Leonard had made a false confession, and it made this case quite a difficult one. The judge wanted the jury to disregard his confessions, which was the strongest component of the case. Quote, "If he falsely admitted to killing the girl Natasha Ryan, how could you possibly rely on anything he said?" Which is fair.
Very fair.
It is absolutely fair, but that didn't change the fact that there were still things that Leonard had previously said that only the killer would know. So you're kind of...
Yeah.
You know? Luckily, on the 9th of May 2003, Leonard was found guilty for the murders of Sylvia, Beverly, and the manslaughter of Julie. On the 13th of July, Leonard was sentenced to 3 indefinite sentences, meaning he was not given a release date.
Yeah.
During the verdict, Leonard again appeared apathetic. He stretched his arms over his head and shielded a yawn.
Fuck. Sorry for laughing, but...
No, I know.
He's such, like, an ignorant bastard.
He's a prick.
Like, his whole attitude is just, yeah, whatever.
It really is.
But then when they're like, "Why did you do this?" "Oh, I didn't do that. I did not do that."
Quote, yeah. "I'm no child molester."
Yeah. Well, you are.
The judge described Leonard as a sexual predator who was not only a danger to the community, but to fellow inmates. On the 26th of December 2006, Leonard was taken to the hospital after complaining of chest pains. And on the 1st of January 2007, at the age of 55, Leonard died in his sleep after going into cardiac arrest. Oh, hi, Lenny.
Oh, bless.
Jeff Barton, who led the investigation into the Rockhampton rapist, said, quote, "I don't think anyone would mourn Fraser. I believe he was pure evil and guilty of more murders than those he was convicted of." One officer said that upon hearing the news that Len was in the hospital, he sat down with a few beers to celebrate.
Well, I'd love to know where he was laid to rest. I'll go there and have a massive shite. Where can we find out where he was laid to rest?
I didn't look into it. I'm not quite sure where Leonard is resting. I will try and find out for you if you would like.
And then I'll rest a pony on him. I know it's a very disrespectful thing to say.
But Leonard's very disrespectful.
Oh, I would love. I would thrive off it. That is something I would say at dinner parties. Yeah. But I shat on his fucking grave.
I mean, he was a turd himself, so.
He was a piece of shit.
The biggest of turds.
You don't have to keep trying to outdo me. Like.
Now, Leonard's lawyer said that he felt his client had been failed by the system.
Well, you can piss off and all.
Well, hang on. Bear with me now. He said, quote, "What use is there in putting people in jail if they're not going to be treated? There needs to be another system invoked if it be a hospital. But we really need to look at what we're actually doing to persons when we put them in prison, because they're not coming out better people." He has a point.
He does, but he can fuck off. You know, oh, poor Lenny. Fuck off.
No, look.
What would you rather
Leonard,
do?
Leonard was a write-off. I'm sorry, but, like, I mean, come on.
Yeah. Oxygen thief.
Yeah. But, I mean, the biggest of turds.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's very hard to argue anything in fairness to Len. But... generally speaking, I do get what he's saying, you know?
Yeah. But he can still shag off.
Oh, yeah. So years later, Missy Rigby, Leonard's daughter, spoke of how her father's cruel and wicked crimes had impacted her. Growing up, her grandmother, Leonard's mother, would repeatedly warn her not to be alone with her father and never to trust him. Imagine having to say those words to your granddaughter about your son.
Yeah.
The first time that Missy visited her father in prison, she was just 6 years old and, you know, of course, couldn't really comprehend the situation, as well as the fact that her family had shielded her from the full scope of his crimes, you know, given her young age.
Mm.
She had fond memories of her father. He was just her dad who happened to live elsewhere. Then at the age of 11, Missy pressed her mother for answers. Upon discovering the severity of his crimes, everything changed for Missy. Quote, "After that, I switched off. The letter stopped. He even stopped sending presents. Mum didn't want to tell me, but I demanded it. I lost it. And because it had been done to me, hearing what he was, it switched something off that would never, ever bring him back into my mind as dad. He was a creature, an animal, a thing. When I think of him, I think of a shark, emotionless, cold, and constantly hunting."
People give sharks a hard time.
Do you think?
Right. So, you think of a lion, yeah?
Yeah.
It's the same with a shark. Right. You're in their habitat.
Yeah.
They don't fucking leave their habitat to fucking attack.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Why do people give sharks such a fucking hard time? Like, you could get a lion in a cage at a zoo. You get in that cage, you're fucked. You get in that ocean, you're fucked.
Yeah.
So why do people... Like, she went fucking after sharks. Why sharks?
Well, like, the description she gave, emotionless, cold, constantly hunting. She's not saying, I fucking hate sharks. Fucking dicks. She's just kind of giving that kind of that impression that we have of sharks.
Like, what animal would you use?
Oh, I don't like a dolphin. You know that. I'm wary of them.
Wasps.
I don't really care about wasps.
They're constantly just a fucking nuisance.
Would you say they're cold, emotionless,
yes,
constantly hunting?
Yes. They're all hunting me.
Okay. So if I was to misquote Missy.
Yeah.
And say she thinks of him
as
a wasp.
Yeah.
You're cool now. You're good.
Yeah. That makes more sense. Like, I don't, people always seem to come after sharks.
Yeah. And you're sick of it.
Yeah. I'm going to take a stand.
And this is where you're choosing to do it.
Yeah.
Leonard John Fraser, part two. Let it be noted in the history books.
Yeah. Come forth if you agree. Stand with me. Leave sharks alone. Fuck wasps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Back in February of 1999, Leonard stayed with Missy and her foster father for a few days. This was decided after Missy had assured her foster father that she was okay with him visiting. She said of this day, quote, "I thought, I'm going to face the devil and I'm going to let him stay. Every night, I would push my wardrobe against the door and sleep with my dog in the bedroom. I am not under any false assumption that once I turned into a teenage girl and physical changes came about, that I would have been in a position of danger."
Mm. I think she would have.
Now, during this stay, Leonard asked Missy to move in with him in Rockhampton. She turned down this offer.
Good. No doubt she'd have been another victim.
Oh, of course. She 100% made the right decision, but that didn't change how she felt and, you know, led her to have some quite complicated feelings.
Yeah, yeah.
Quote, "I believe that was the last kick in the guts because I refused him. I was devastated hearing of Kira's murder. I felt like I just cost someone else their life because I wasn't willing to risk my own. Because I selfishly protected myself, she lost her life, and I will always feel her death is partially on my shoulders too."
Nah, no, you can't do that.
Of course. And it's really devastating to hear that she feels that way.
Calling herself selfish. She's not selfish. Like,
no, she's not selfish whatsoever. And it is nothing
Yeah.
To do with it, because Len then made these choices.
And again, this is another example of a female saying no.
Yeah.
And him going off.
Well, this was February. February. So it's right before, you know, it's the month before. Yeah. Sorry, it's 2 months before. Two.
Yeah.
So you can understand how she could, in her mind, interpret it. Knowing what he's like, knowing how he feels about women and girls.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, of course, it's not the case. She's had no part in it, but you know what I mean?
But yeah, it's upsetting to hear.
Yeah.
That's how she feels.
When Missy was contacted by the prison on behalf of Leonard to let her know that he was close to death and that he wanted to speak with her, she said, quote, "I thought, I have nothing to say at all. I don't want to see him. I feel nothing." When asked if she wanted his remains or belongings, she told them, quote, "Throw it in a dumpster or send it to a lab and learn from it." Missy suffers from bipolar disorder and has said, quote, "I am terrified of who I am when I'm angry because of him." But she does go on to say, quote, "I manage it very well. I'm not going to hide behind an unstable mind to excuse my actions." Professor of Criminology and Forensic Psychology at Bond University, Paul Wilson, said, quote, "He was somebody who clearly reveled in or loved killing and also demonstrating how much of a killer he was. We know that from the fact that he talked to the informer police had in prison with him for so long." When Paul was asked if Leonard was the worst serial killer that Queensland had seen, he said, quote, "I can't think of a worse one. He certainly displayed all the characteristics of a dangerous psychopath."
Yeah, like we've discussed it before, you know, like, I can't remember which one it was, but we said he was after the sexual attacks. He was just killing them to keep them quiet.
Yeah.
But this guy, this fucking Leonard, he enjoys it all.
100%.
Yeah.
In April of 1999, when Leonard was arrested for the disappearance of Kira Steinhardt and his home was searched, police found 3 ponytails which had been hacked off using a knife. When tested, none of these locks of hair matched the women who they had already identified or those known to be missing in Australia. During his series of confessions, Leonard claimed that in 1982, he killed a hitchhiker named Sandy Lawrence in an abandoned crocodile zoo in North Queensland. He also claimed to have cut the throat of a 17-year-old Aboriginal girl who was his girlfriend, and he said that this happened in King's Cross during the early 70s. When Kira's father learned of Leonard's passing, he said, quote, "Basically, a new start for a new year. It feels right. I've had a lot of people say that they would like to have actually seen him be in jail for a lot longer, for the rest of his natural life. I'm actually rather glad he's now gone. I think it's now actually going to let me get on with my life. It's been an emotional roller coaster for the last 7 years, and I think it's finally time to get off." Well, Neil, that is the case of serial killer Leonard John Fraser, also known as the Rockhampton Rapist, Queensland's first convicted serial killer. Any thoughts?
I actually feel quite bad because I didn't really have any comments at the end of the first part and I was like, I'll save it.
Yeah.
But I don't feel like I've got anything to add. He were a piece of shit.
He's a bollocks. Well, he was a bollocks. He's now dead. Thank fuck.
Yeah. You know, you know, I feel like I'm fucking telling the listeners grass is green.
Yeah.
Whatever I say. He was a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like I said, he definitely enjoyed the whole thing. I don't understand why he, you know, he was thriving off some stuff he'd done.
Yeah.
But then he didn't want to admit to others.
Well,
your life's fucked.
Like I mentioned earlier, I think with Leonard, he liked the idea of being this notorious serial killer. But the fact was, a lot of his crimes involved sexual offences and he didn't want to claim that title. He clearly had an issue with being called a rapist. He did not want to be that.
I think the only thing I can think of is he didn't want to go into prison and other prisoners knowing that he was a rapist, because they get fucked.
Yeah.
Quite literally. That's the only thing I can think of.
I wonder, you know, this is purely speculation, I have no idea, but, you know, Missy chose to call it a day on her relationship with her father. And, you know, and she said it wasn't just learning what he was, what he had done, but the fact that she had gone through sexual abuse herself. It was like, no, like it was absolutely, there is no way I can ever kind of look at you as my father again. But before that, he was your dad. He was no different to anyone else in her eyes.
Yeah.
I wonder if after having her, you know, did he have that weird thing in his head? Like, obviously he was still doing it. He was still a fucking scumbag. But did he hate the idea of being known as that because he had a daughter? You know what I mean? And again, like I said, that's purely speculation on my part. I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't think it's, I think it's the prisoner thing.
You think?
Yeah. You go into a prison as a rapist, that's, you're not going to have a good time.
Yeah, but he also admitted to killing a child. You know what I mean? They know that.
Oh, yeah. We'll never know.
We'll never know.
No.
But to sum up,
he's a bollocks.
Bit of a bollocks.
The biggest of shites. Yeah, I got there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got it.
So, oddity. It's a stupid fucking grin.
Sorry, I have to find it.
Here we fucking go.
The hyena birthing process. Now, Neil, you're not too keen on hyenas, are you?
No, horrible bastards.
Well, did you know that hyenas actually have one of, if not the most excruciating birthing processes among mammals?
Good.
Wow. That's not on.
Do you mean it's not on?
Well, you were just, you know, ranting and raving about your support for sharks, but hyenas can go fuck themselves.
Hyenas can go fuck themselves. Have you seen what they do to lions?
This is outrageous.
Have you seen what they do to lions? It's fucking torture what they do to lions. Well, not just lions, but I watch a lot of lion documentaries, so it's usually a lion. They'll like have 9 or 10 hyenas circling one fucking lion. And as soon as the back's turned, one will go in, nip, and run back. And then when the lion goes for that hyena, another hyena will come, nip. It's fucking torture. It's brutal to watch. They've got some neck on them and all.
Right.
And they laugh like they're fucking possessed.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, Neil, after looking into hyenas, they're actually incredibly fascinating animals.
No, I have heard.
Yeah. Fucking insane. So with spotted hyenas, these are also the ones that are known as the laughing hyenas.
Mm.
The females are dominant over the males. Even the lowest ranking female will outrank a male. And the females have much higher levels of testosterone, making them larger, more muscular, and also more aggressive than their counterparts.
Oh.
It's also difficult to distinguish between male and females because the females have a pseudopenis.
What? They give birth... Wait, they give birth through a dick?
Essentially, yes. Basically, it's a clitoris, but it protrudes. And it gives the illusion of a penis.
Right.
You okay?
Yeah. So we're back to... Now we're on hyena penises.
Yeah.
Right.
Mixing it up. We're keeping it fresh here.
What has happened to this podcast?
I don't look for the penises. The penises find me, Neil. I'm telling you.
Can I just ask, how the hell?
Actually, no, sorry. Just before you make that point, I actually did hear something briefly and I went looking for this. But I've got a list as long as my arm of penis oddities.
That's what I was about to ask. How the hell did you come across this?
They pop up for me. Yeah. See what I did there? Yeah. No, seriously, I don't mean to. It keeps happening.
So that's essentially it. That a little pup has to come through a knob.
Well, more than one.
Wait, they have litters?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yes, exactly. So the thing.
Yeah, but after the first one, you're going to be numb.
No, no, no. Not exactly how it works. So with their pseudo penis, they urinate through this, and I'm not entirely sure, but I did see some sources saying that they are capable of an erection. But they don't produce sperm or anything like that.
Right.
Just because I can see you going down that route.
I was not.
Okay. Now, like you mentioned, they also give birth through their pseudopenis.
Hmm.
The birth canal is just 1 inch in diameter, so not only is the birthing process agonizing for them, but it's also incredibly dangerous and often fatal. Mortality rates for their firstborn cubs are very high. Because the birth canal is so constricting, cubs can suffocate as she's birthing them.
I was thinking that. About suffocation in the knob.
Yeah. Pseudo penis, yeah. Neil. Have a bit of respect.
What the fuck is a pseudo?
It's not a real penis. It looks like one, but it's not.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it is. You said an erection.
No, the same. But it's the same thing. Like, you know,
they piss out of it. If it quacks, it's a duck.
No, that's not. Not how it works. It's the same thing with like a human's anatomy. If you look at the internal side of it, yeah, on a woman, it kind of looks like a penis, but only it's inside the body. The clitoris, I'm talking about.
No, it does not.
Have you ever looked at an anatomical diagram of a clitoris? What's the way you're laughing at? What's so fucking funny?
I might have had a textbook at school.
I'm not saying the only difference, because I'm talking about a human versus a hyena. But what I'm saying to you is the difference here is that theirs is external. It protrudes outside of their body.
Right.
Compared to inward. Being concealed.
Mm.
Yeah. So with the birthing canal being so narrow, the likelihood of tearing, blood loss and infection is very high. But if she does survive, subsequent births tend to be, and I use this word, you know, hesitantly, slightly easier. And this is because of the scar tissue which has since formed. Now, when the female does allow a male to mate with her, the positioning is crucial. And to allow this to take place, she has to retract her clitoris to create an opening.
So you've got a knob going in a knob.
Kind of, but like she's retracting it back into her body to create an opening for penetration.
So it's like the finger trap thing is what we had as kids.
No, not exactly, no. Like I said, she's retracting it back. She's pulling it back in to create an opening. You okay, Neil?
Yeah.
Yeah. You're learning something today.
It's very late.
It is very late. But you are learning something, aren't you? This is something for you to tell at cocktail parties, if you ever go to one.
I am near enough certain I will never speak of this again.
Well, do you want to hear a positive of this?
There's a positive.
There is. So because she has to retract it to allow for penetration, it makes it impossible for a male to force mating onto a female. Unlike those rapist dolphins.
Okay, that's good.
That's good though, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's positive.
Okay, that is.
That's brought you back around a little bit. It's perked you up a little.
Yeah.
Now, if she hasn't gone through enough already, the gestation period is around 110 days, producing 2 to 4 cubs, usually weighing between 2 to 3 pounds. And although they will start to eat meat from as young as 3 months, they continue to suckle for between 12 to 18 months. They also raise their young without any involvement from the father, and the cubs may attack each other, which sometimes results in the death of the weaker cub. So the mother really can't catch a fucking break here, can she?
Imagine the cubs kill each other.
Yeah, they can do, yeah. So imagine going through all of that just for some fucking chance of a cub to kill their sibling.
They're fucking brutes.
Little shits.
They're just brutes.
But yeah, all you fuckers who take issue with hyenas, put some fucking respect on their name. I thought this was very interesting, very fucking insightful. Mm. Also, I think given the amount of information that is confidently put out there regarding anatomy and physiology, I think, you know, this is very interesting, no?
Yeah. Bit weird, but...
But, right, put it this way. Like I said, you know, particularly bro podcasters and the like, yeah? They like to perpetuate this shit. They love to compare us to animals, you know, when it suits their agenda for, like, shitty behavior.
Yeah.
And, you know, their beliefs. But they also don't seem to know shit about endocrinology or much else, for that matter. But hey, what the fuck do I know? I'll tell you one thing. Do you know who is to blame for the hyena hate?
Don't say Lion King.
Lion King.
Fuck off.
100% Lion King.
No, it's not. It's watch any fucking documentary where there's hyenas. They're the villain.
Every You're time. Making them the villain.
I watched. No. I watched a fucking documentary on hyenas and they were still the villain. The horrible bastards, like.
So where are we at here, Neil? You're going to start organising a fundraiser for fucking sharks. I'm going to start organising one for hyenas.
Yeah, but... No, that's not where this episode's ending. Like,
what do you mean, don't do that?
Don't do that. They fucking kill lions with repeatedly cheap shots.
Did you hear what she has to go through? Just to birth a few fucking cubs. And there's a high chance they're going to just fucking die or she'll die.
If it's that bad, don't have kids. No. They wouldn't be missed. If they went extinct, they would not be missed.
Wow. That's outrageous. Do you think sharks would be missed? By your logic.
Sharks are beautiful to fucking look at and the way they swim. Hyenas are the most fucking just... It looks like a child's drawn it.
Yeah, I get what you mean. But have you ever seen the cubs? They are the cutest little thing.
Are they?
Now, even if you're not into the grown hyenas, even if they freak out a little bit.
Yeah.
The cubs are adorable.
Like, sometimes Norman runs like a hyena. He drops his ass and runs. Hyenas do that. When the lion's chasing them, they drop their ass as they run. Yeah.
I mean, that's where I stand. Justice for hyenas.
Do you know where I stand?
Yeah.
Fuck them.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Moto Casino. America's
social casino. I sold my car in Carvana last night.
Well, that's cool.
No, you don't understand. It went perfectly. Real offer, down to the penny. They're picking it up tomorrow. Nothing went wrong.
So, what's the problem?
That is the problem. Nothing in my life goes as smoothly. I'm waiting for the catch.
Maybe there's no catch.
That's exactly what a catch would want me to think.
Wow, you need to relax.
I need to knock on wood. Do we have wood? Is this table wood?
I think it's laminate.
Okay, yeah, that's good. That's close enough.
Car selling without a catch. Sell your car today on Carvana. Pickup fees may apply.